Today on Real Radio.
It's too bad Saul. Saul could have stopped at any moment and said, you know what? I'm repenting. I'm quitting being in charge. If he would just repent, he could have been preserved.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. Now, we've been covering a chapter at a time here in our series. This time, we're going to cover chapters 26 through 28 because they all kind of dovetail quite well together. Now, this section of scripture culminates in Saul's blatant disobedience to the Almighty when he consults a medium. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now, continuing in his mini-series called The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly.
Any one of us, when we are so up one moment, down the other, unpredictable, unstable in our conduct. Now, all of us look, I mean, let's be honest. All of us, we've been created with certain emotional characteristics. Emotions are not wrong. They're not sinful. God made us this way. For him, it's quite exciting, I guess, to see all this palette of not only different looks, but we are all made up differently emotionally. We all respond to things differently. Emotionally. No one's right and no one's wrong unless those emotions begin to control. Unless those emotions begin to dictate how we live our lives. Then we're out of control. We're not in the spirit, we're in the flesh, and we can make decisions like this. Oh, you know what? And we begin to make an argument of why we're going to do this or why we're going to move there or why we're going to buy that, all based upon emotional foundations. And those things will crumble. Saul has lived his life and he makes one decision on Monday, and then Tuesday night he's regretted ever making that decision. He's like an impulse shopper. They just buy to buy because they don't have anything else to do. And there's a moment gratification. There's kind of a rush that you walk out of the store and you got it. And you can even say, oh, look what I got. And then a few days or a few weeks or a month later, it's out back rusting. Why did you get it? I don't know. I liked it. But you don't like it now? No, I don't like it now. And listen, that's dangerous on a financial level. But what of such things in a spiritual or emotional? Oh, I like him today. Oh, I don't like him on Thursday. Kids are like that. I have forgotten, but I'm going to guess. You know, I thought I was first in love, I think. Well, I was in love with Mrs. Dawson, my fourth grade teacher, first, I think. That was the first person who knocked me off my feet. But I think if you're like a little kiddo, like a man, I don't know, sixth grade, maybe seventh, the feelings are like, wow. And the feelings are so strong. You can't tell a ninth grader, you know, you don't really love her or you don't really love him. It's just infatuation. They don't care about that word. They don't care what it means. They just know that their heart's pounding, their skin kind of sizzles, you know, when that person walks by. They freak out. They can't. It's really intense, and that's why it's so real to them. That's on Monday. But by Friday night, you know, it's all changed. There's somebody else. There's somebody new. And it's going to go that way until that person begins to grow through and up this hormonal and emotional driven stage of their life. Some people never outgrow that type of living in other ways. In all that they do, they're like a little bee that flits from one flower to the next. And it's tragic. Saul's like that. And these kinds of people like Saul, they manipulate things using their emotions. And so he's crying, oh, David, is that you, my son? It's pathetic. Listen, it's been said, the spirit will always outclass the flesh, but the flesh will always outflash the spirit. I like that. The spirit, that is when God's in control, will always outclass the flesh. The spirit is stable. It is strong. When God's spirit is in charge of our lives, there's a stability about us. Are we emotionless? No, we still have our emotions. In fact, I think when the Holy Spirit has you and has myself under control, there's excitement to that when God's in control and you are the person that you are. I said a couple of Sundays ago that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, not for our personalities. And I said that, and that really helps somebody get through living with themselves. They thought otherwise. They thought because Jesus died on the cross and died for their sins that they were supposed to be some sort of a, you know, monk or something in their conduct and attitude. Not so. When the spirit is in control, the spirit will always outclass the flesh. The sad thing is, in the world that you and I live in, if we're not in the spirit, the flesh always outflashes, or the flesh always outflashes the spirit. That is, the flesh, like Saul, it's very loud and very lamentive in this case. Oh! And it gets everybody's attention, and they pull out their little hanky, and they're going, look at Saul. He loves David so much. And if you're not in the spirit, you're going to get suckered into that. Look at him. I know he's been a real crazy person, throwing spears and stuff and trying to kill me. But you know what? He cried when he said, my son David, grow up. Watch out. An emotionally led life, as in Saul's case, will lead to death. The flesh gets a lot of attention in spiritual arenas when it acts like this. Verse 25, then Saul said to David, may you be blessed, my son David. You shall both do great things, and also you will prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place, probably shaking his head, because nothing's changed. And so chapter 26 is a colossus chapter of emotions and control. And Saul now, people, listen, Saul is very near his death. He'll be dying shortly. Why does Saul keep doing this? Because frankly, the flesh just recycles itself over and over again. It just dresses itself up, but it says the same things. It does the same thing. It's like this. When someone with good intentions, they say something like, I'll never yell at you again. Or I'll never strike you again. Or I'll never walk out on you again. I swear this time it's all different. He or she may say. They really mean it. You know that? For a moment's time, maybe for a week's time, they really mean it. They're really sorry. But there's that sick cycle, like Saul was in, where they did not have the power to change that cycle that they were in because they determined to walk in the flesh and not in the spirit. And Saul had his chance always to walk in the spirit, and he chose not to. It was always, I want, I this, and I that. And there was no room in Saul's life for God. And yet he was a man of authority. People, have you ever experienced a man or people or a group in authority and they have no concept of how they got it? They have no appreciation that it's by the hand of God? Do you know what happens when that takes place? It's called a despot, a tyrant. And they'll kill people. They'll destroy them. If not with a blade, they'll use their tongue and they'll whittle them down to nothing and they'll live their life that way and they leave a wake behind them of broken people. Saul's got authority, ordained by God even. And yet he's out of control. Very tragic. But the flesh will dress itself up and go right back out there again. Listen, the Bible says, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 16, no one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Ladies, us guys, we don't know what that means, okay? We had to read commentaries to figure this one out. Jesus says, no one puts a piece of unshrunk clothing on an old piece of clothing. For the patch pulls away from the garment, and the tear is made worse than it was in the beginning. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins. or else the wineskins will break, the wine is spilled out, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins so that both are preserved. What's Jesus saying? He's saying this, that when God wants to do a work, he will find a new vessel to receive the new work. If someone digs their heels down and says, I will not, this is the way my great-grandfather did it, this is the way my grandfather, this is the way my dad, this is the way I'm going to do it, and God is saying, I want to do something else. You know what God will do? He will knock on that door of your heart with opportunity a few times. And then lo and behold, what does he do? He moves on. The Holy Spirit will bypass me or bypass you and find someone who is willing and open to do what God wants. That is the new wineskin. Just like that would be the new fabric to receive new vitality. Why? Because if you take a wineskin of old and if it was oiled and massaged and used often and regularly, it still was supple. It was still shapeable and moldable so that you could put new wine in. Why is that important? Because new wine has to ferment. And when it ferments in that wineskin, there's a lot of chemistry going on. Any of you chemists in here tonight, you know that as that begins to ferment, as the wine begins to rot, technically, there's a lot of biology and chemistry taking place. And those molecules start dancing, they start hitting one another, they start creating friction, and there's a fermentation taking place, and it begins to swell. And if you put new wine in an old skin that is now rigid, though, from lack of use, ooh, any of us Christians, been Christians for a long time, but God's not using us, and when God says, hey, I want to use you, we say, come on. God, don't you know me? I'm an old Christian. I know everything. What can you do with me? Maybe I should write a book, you know? God says, oh, I want you to do this. Oh, I don't. That's for the little believer. You're an old wineskin. And the Spirit of God wants to do something new, and he can't do it with you. You know what's fun about this? You can be 99 years old and be a new wineskin right now. That's the cool thing about God. Yeah, we may be getting older. We may be rusting out, but if God has control of our lives, we can burn out for God. I'd rather burn out than rust out, you know? I just want to burn for Jesus and then just nothing be left right but ashes, you know? So in our lives, in our hearts, we need to be careful. Instead of dressing up the flesh, hiding our cursing by carrying a Bible, disguising our drunkenness by lifting our hands in church and singing, you know. Watch out. It's dressing up the flesh. And something's going to rip. God will see to that. He doesn't want that. Listen, he doesn't want that because it's destructive for your life and my life. He wants to do a brand new work in us. It's too bad Saul. Saul could have stopped at any moment and said, you know what? I'm repenting. I'm quitting being in charge. If you just repent, he could have been preserved. When the flesh recycles itself, it brings forth death. The Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin, that is the earnings which it produces, is death. But the gift of God, that is what you cannot earn, is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin is death. And we may think like Saul that we've got the upper hand when we can look at somebody and tear them apart or say things. Or maybe we have these hidden things that are the most dangerous, you know. The most dangerous sins are the sins that aren't surfaced on the public eye. That's the sins that we have of being covetous of somebody's possessions. Or we could hate somebody. And we look so fine on the outside, the flesh is all dressed up. But inside, these sins are eating us away. The Bible says that if that is not dealt with, it brings forth death. Romans chapter 6, verse 5 says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of Jesus' death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that the old man, that's not your dad, that's you and me, the old person of who we were before Jesus, was crucified with Christ that the body of sin might be done away with. Now listen to this. That we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. The Bible, I know you and I battle with our temper still and with our flesh. That's why the Bible says to reckon the old man dead. We're to turn to the old Jack or to the old Bill or to the old Karen, whoever you are, and say, now wait a minute, me. The way I'm acting is the old me. That's the way I used to act before I became a Christian. I'm not going to act like that anymore. In fact, the Bible gives me the authority to now say to me, the old me, you're dead. Get back in your tomb where you belong. You've been crucified with Christ. And does anybody have an idea how often you have to do that? You know, don't you think if he was crucified, he'd be dead forever and you and I would accept Jesus and never sin again? Wouldn't that be great? That's what I thought happened when I got saved. I walked forward at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. I thought I would never go. I didn't hear the... Greg Laurie must have left the part out, I think, because I found out after I prayed the prayer and went back to the prayer room that sin was waiting outside for me in the parking lot. How did that happen, huh? I'm a child of God now. What's up? I got to reckon the old man dead. Hey, that's not me anymore. And the Bible says here in Romans 6 that the old man's dead. And he's been freed from the law. The law presides over a man's life until he's dead. Can you imagine trying to pull a guy over who's dead? Well, you turn on your siren, pull out your badge, turn the dogs loose, the guy's behind the wheel, pulled over to the side of the road, he's dead. What are you going to do, give him a ticket? He's dead. All right, step out of the car. You're not going to listen to me? Raise your hands. Can't you hear me? All right, stand back. Boom, blow up the guy. Did you kill him? No. He's dead. You can't write him a ticket. He's dead. You can't do anything with him. He's dead. If sin came to him and said, hoo-hoo, look at me, temptation, yoo, he would just walk by. He's dead. That's why the Bible says, reckon the old man dead to sin. Yeah, somebody would be laying there dead on a hot day like today. 100 degrees it was today. I thought it was quite beautiful. And the older I get, the better it feels, hotter temperature. Palm Springs looking more comfortable every time. You could have a hot day like this and a guy laying out there in your lawn with a visor on and an umbrella. You can offer him ice cream at 100 degree temperature. If he's dead, he's not going to enjoy it. He's not going to reach for it. Nothing. And if you and I would take God at his word and walk in the newness of the life that he's given us, when someone comes knocking at the door tomorrow at the water fountain at work and, you know, she's the little corporate flirt around the office there and you, oh no, you know, oh no, here she comes. You have to be afraid. She comes up to the, oh, I want a drink of water too. You want a drink of water? I'll give you a drink of water. Jesus says if you drink of the water he gives, you'll never thirst again. Never. She'll never bother you again. Try it. Oh, here he comes. You know, he's coming and oh, he's calling. I know that's his number. It's on my display. Oh, what do I do? Because you know he's trouble every time you're around him. You just swoon when he's in your presence, you know. When you pass out when he's nearby. Hey, if you flirt with that setting, you're going to get burned. But if you reckon, that is you determine, that the old you is dead and you're alive to Jesus, your body belongs to the Lord now, and he's got that person for you, and that person you'll know. This other person is not for you. God will give you the very thing to say to them and the strength to put that temptation down. On what basis, on what premise? That the old man is dead. It's hard to sneak in a little secret drink, you know, when he's dead. He doesn't have an appetite. He's dead. Chapter 27 is David's lapse of faith which leads to sin. Verse 1. And David said in his heart, listen to this, now I shall perish. Someday by the hand of Saul, there is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines. And Saul will despair of me there to seek me anymore in any part of Israel. So I shall escape out of his hand. What in the world is going on? Watch, chapter 26 ends with Saul and his, lamentation going back to Jerusalem. David, his head is kind of maybe still up. He's getting weary though now. It's been going on a long time where Saul's been pursuing him. It's been wearing on him. He goes on his way like this, and as he begins to think, it's been happening in the past, it'll probably happen again, this thing's wearing me down, that we open up chapter 27, the great man of faith, David, the great warrior, look what he's saying. Verse 1, he says to himself in his own heart, that's a dangerous place, people. When you begin to talk to yourself like this, now I shall perish someday. It's over. Listen, have you ever been there? Don't tell me you haven't. Nothing's going to change. It's a cycle. I'm living in the wilderness. He's going to go back to Jerusalem. He's going to have a vacation or two, go water skiing on the Galilee, come back, chase me again. I'm living out here in a bunch of caves. It's never going to change. This difficulty in my life, this situation's never going to change. I don't see any break in this pressure. David begins to think. He sees nothing but despair. His lapse of faith begins to lead him on a path of sin. Because people, when that kind of defeat gets hold of you and I, it's dark in every direction. Have you noticed that? There's no way out, because now David is being led by emotions rather than scriptural strength. God had told him as a young man, you will be king. Then God, I believe, speaks through Saul one last time in chapter 26 and says, you're going to be great someday. David is still crushed. He's defeated. He's going down. And he's in despair. And where is he going to seek refuge? To the land of the Philistines. It's just like saying this. You know what? I've been a Christian. I've been fighting the good fight. Man, I've been pulling the line. I've been trying to stay upright. Nobody appreciates it. You just get attacked for it. Who needs it? People make fun of me at work. That's all that's happening. I can't do this. You know what? I'm just going to take a break. I can't take it anymore. I'm going to hide out from the one that's pursuing me in the land of my enemy, in the land of Philistia. And so in chapter 27, David goes to the king and says, King, can I just live in a neighborhood that's outside your city so I won't be a threat to you? I just want to live in peace. I don't want any trouble.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. It's a look at 1 Samuel chapters 26 through 28. It's a section of scripture that culminates in Saul's blatant disobedience to the God of Israel when he consults a medium. We'll continue with more of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, you've heard us tell you about Real Life with JackHibbs.org. That, of course, is our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's where you'll be able to watch recent editions of Real Life with Jack Hibbs, one of our weekly television programs. But there are other tabs and buttons that take you to other facets of our ministry. That includes Real Life devotions. Now, I think you're really going to like this. Just visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click on the button there that simply says Devotions. And if you'd like, subscribe to Real Life Devotions, and they'll be sent to your email each Monday. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.